who is a flight instructor for Air Wisconsin.
Chief instructor.
Chief flight instructor.
For Air Wisconsin.
Chief inspector.
How do you do, guys? It's good to be back here.
It's good to have you back again. There's been a lot of developments in aviation lately.
You know, the past couple of years have been busy. They've been busy for the airlines. They've been busy for the FAA and certainly at the NTSB. A lot of rulemaking in progress, and we don't quite know the exact result of all the rules that are coming out, but we're certain they're going to impact us. And at Air Wisconsin, we're back to hiring pilots, and we're excited to be adding more pilots to our staff, and you know, put them through training. So it's a good time for aviation, and a, you know, good place to be at EAA to, you know, talk about the spirit of aviation and how people can continue their careers.
Well, there've been a couple of developments lately in aviation regarding airline pilots and resting, the sleep rules.
Yes, and you know, it's been an item of discussion for, of course, a number of years, and it looks like we will finally have, you know, some change in the pilot rest rules. A ruling is due out soon, and my crystal ball is out of service these days, so it's a little bit difficult to tell how that's going to sort out, but we're certain it's going to make a change in the industry for both the long-haul carriers as well as the, you know, the regionals like ourselves that are doing, you know, multi-leg days. In anticipation of, you know, the changes, we're just looking at what it would mean to our staffing, and, you know, we're sure that we'll have to respond by, you know, continuing to hire some more pilots. So it's
right,
a good thing.
That's the bottom line. It's they're going to require more pilots to do the same amount of flying.
It's gonna, sure.
It's going to cost the airlines more money and probably will impact their the ticket prices as well.
Oh, say it ain't so.
It's not so.
Okay, very good. Now, a flight instructor for an airline.
You bet.
That just doesn't make sense, because I would think that they're supposed to know how to fly by the time they get to you.
Well, you know, it's a question that I often get. Of course, we hire people that already have prior experience, and what we're teaching them to do is understand the airline environment, you know, the Part 121 rules and regulations, and every airline operates under what's called a series of op specs or operation specifications, and in principle, they're the same from airline to airline, but each has their differences about how they operate. So When a pilot comes to Air Wisconsin, they'll spend 4 weeks in ground school, and the first 2 weeks of that is devoted to, you know, what is the Part 121 environment and how are those rules different from what they may have been doing in the past. And we look at that. We look at the time also to go through the op specs about how our specific airline wants to operate. And then that gets them through 2 weeks, and the following 2 weeks is more aircraft specific, where we're teaching them about the systems of the aircraft and getting them ready then to make the transition into the simulator. And the simulator program is roughly a 10-day program as well. The metrics have changed over the years. When I first hired with Air Wisconsin about 12 years ago, it was not uncommon to have people in class with 5,000 or 6,000 hours of previous experience. Now those numbers are down. You know, it's not uncommon to have a class with people with 1,500 to 2,000 hours, sometimes a bit less. So it brings some challenges to us because we need to adapt our training to people with a little bit less time and experience.
And, of course, you start them on the smaller airplanes / shorter routes.
Not necessarily. For us, once the first officer qualifies, he's in our CL-65, which is a 50-seat RJ, and flying our normal route structure, which for us is on the East Coast. So we're up and down the East Coast and a little bit into Wisconsin.
Well, the question I have is that the FAA, they have been really given the hairy eyeball to the hours that a pilot has flown. There apparently have been a couple of incidents with pilots that were supposedly qualified, and it turns out after the accident that their qualifications were pretty much on paper.
Yeah, you know, it's to put it simply, it's a quality versus quantity discussion. It used to be that if somebody had 5,000 or 6,000 hours of time, then there was an assumption of experience. I will never say that I've seen it all in my flight instructing days, but I've seen a lot, and I've seen young individuals with 1,200, 1,500 hours of flight time do exceptionally well. And it's a lot of it is attitude and motivation and how much they want to, you know, do this career. For us, we look at the quality of their flight time. You know, it's quite easy to say, well, you know, time is everything. But I will tell you that it's not. You could have two pilots, each with 3,000 hours of flight time, but with vastly different experiences. And, you know, the airlines are challenged with looking at the time and what they've done with their time to determine if they're going to be a good fit for the airlines. And it's a bit of a moving target right now.
So the experienced pilot is going to receive pretty much the same scrutiny as the low-time new pilot coming up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it is, you know, it's one standard for everybody, and it's all governed by the, you know, the practical test standards and the rules and regs. And, you know, the airlines do a good job of training to above the practical test standards. But, you know, the pilot selection process has changed. You know, the military is no longer supplying the pilots like to the airlines like they used to do. We look to some of the four-year, you know, flight schools that do a collegiate program. We look to people who, you know, have had previous, for example, charter flying, you know, where they've been through some formal program. So it's a bit different, and it's up to the airlines to, you know, respond to the differences in the market.
I'm curious. I had a friend of mine who tried to get an airline job for a number of years, and one of the interviews, he got like to the third level, and they threw him in a simulator. Do you ever take these new applicants and throw them into a simulator just to see what they can do?
What a timely question. Airlines have different policies about whether they include a simulator ride in the interview process, and we have gone through a time where we did simulator rides to evaluate just their fundamental skills, to not doing them because we couldn't tie success in the training program to success in a simulator ride. And now we're evaluating the idea about going back to a simulator. All we're really looking for is fundamental skills. And again, it gets down to just because there's something on paper doesn't mean the skill set is necessarily there. The simulator is just another tool, you know, to go through the interview process.
Do you guys teach any form of, like, customer relations, how to handle passengers, the atmosphere with passengers being kept on airplanes too long and everything? I mean, a lot of things have changed there too.
It is part of the curriculum, because as we all know, since 9/11, things have been different. You know, just the heightened security and the environment in the aircraft is different than it used to be, and customer service is important. I mean, airlines are in the service business, and we do through our a captain development program teach, you know, just because you can fly at the captain level doesn't necessarily mean you're a leader. So we make sure that we do some leadership training.
Well, that's wonderful. No, just kidding. It's actually quite necessary, because I always like to say to the captain, "Nice ride," when I'm getting off.
Sure.
Some of them are there, some of them aren't, some of them probably can't.
And I personally like to greet the passengers as they're getting on the airplane as well as off the airplane, because I think people like to see, you know, who's in charge and who's responsible.
I remember one particularly hairy approach into Philadelphia. Our pilot was just all over the place. He was landing in very gusty crosswind condition, and he was playing with every control he had, power included, and he greased the airplane onto the runway.
I'm sure that was me.
Yeah, probably was.
That brings up a question. Do you still fly active routes?
I fly monthly, but I don't fly routes as a regular line pilot would fly. You know, a typical schedule for a line pilot is, you know, maybe 4 days on, 3 or 4 days off. I fly abbreviated routes sort of as my schedule fits, but it's absolutely essential to stay, you know, current and stay in the system.
Right.
You know, so that you can bring the experiences from the normal line operations into the training department.
The FAA requires recurrency training for all airline pilots. How often do you requalify your pilots?
Right now, the current rules are that a captain at our airline is requalified every 6 months, which means they have to go back through essentially the same check ride that they received when they became a captain. The first officers are required to do that once a year. We're moving to a different program, though, where everybody will be going through once a year certification, but the number of days spent training will be longer.
Well, that's very good. Well, I want to thank you for joining with us.
It's a pleasure.
Mr. Prediker, Paul Prediker of Air Wisconsin, actually known as U.S. Airways, where we are in Philly anyway.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
That's okay. We enjoy flying on your airplanes. They're clean, the staff is friendly, and they pull out some great landings.
From time to time.
There you go.
Oh, and one other great advantage, too. We've never lost our luggage yet. So.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is Hot Start on EAA.